I was completely, perfectly calm in the safety of my car.
You were fine.
Alone, just me and Perry Mason and Della Street.
Okay. That is really about the most 85-year-old woman thing you've ever done in your life.
I love Perry Mason.
I do too, but I don't watch it in my car in Branson. My gosh, people, we need an intervention right now.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail painting, home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
Okay, welcome to episode 19.
19!
And happy new year to everybody. We made it, y'all.
We made it.
We really did it. We did it. We're here. We've had a little break, which was good, and we'll chat all about our breaks. But I think first, you all missed it because I didn't have the record on. But here we go. Yeah. There we go.
Hail State, baby. Hail State.
Hail State. Okay, so we are recording on Monday. We know
and the ball game is just over.
It legit just is over.
Bowl game.
And we have to discuss it immediately.
Immediately. Yes.
I've laughed. I've cried. I didn't laugh a whole lot.
No.
Joni looks like she's been bawling for an hour.
Listen. One, that it's in Tampa Bay. So if you don't know, Mike Leach, who was our head coach, passed away right before Christmas.
3 weeks today.
Yeah, three weeks
ago to the day. Or Monday.
Yeah. And we played the bowl game in Tampa Bay, which was set up before he died.
Yep.
This was not, you know.
Anything
Tampa
to do with
Bay,
it.
Mm-hmm. We played in
home
the Buccaneers
of,
Stadium,
the Buccaneers.
And in the back is the giant pirate ship. And for those of you who do not know, Mike Leach obtained the nickname "the Pirate" long ago.
Yeah,
I mean it was just perfect.
Years ago.
When
years
they ago. Came on and they showed the pirate ship in the back and his big old picture
his
there,
picture and a big
I
flowers.
Just went.
It was too much. It was too much.
But at that point, I went. Mississippi State's going to win today.
I know.
There's no other option here except for Mississippi State to win this ball game today.
I know. Because if you know, half of winning games is the heart, and they surely had it. I just earlier before it started saw, was on Instagram. And when I saw the helmets they were going to wear, I was done.
So the helmets, y'all, one side had done. The Mississippi State logo, and on the other side, it had the pirate and Mike.
A pirate flag. And then ML, Mike Leach, little initials. And I was undone. I was done. And it was already
There were flags all over. Even Illinois, who we played, had Mike on the back of their helmets.
They did. And everyone has been so, I mean, you hate that this whole is such a tragedy. I kept looking for him on the sidelines. It was disconcerting.
Yes.
And obviously a very sad tragedy. And yet, if you can find a positive, the response across football, across the SEC and football in general has just been really cool. It's been really cool. They've all kind of come together. The beginning of this game, I know the Texas Tech and the Ole Miss game bowl earlier did this as well, which, of course, he coached at Texas Tech for many, many years. And Ole Miss being Mississippi State's, you know, biggest kind of rival, it was fitting, but they also at today's game did the same thing. So they had State lined up with the air raid offense, big spread out, you know, very noticeable. And then they had just stood there didn't snap in time and got delay of game, and then the other team declines the penalty, you know, in honor of
Mike. They took a little moment of silence,
and it was just precious.
I can't even. We went in, if you did not watch the game, at halftime we were not looking good.
No. Two interceptions.
He was off. It was not looking pretty. And we went into halftime with the score of 7-3 Illinois, mm-hmm. which that we kept Illinois down.
Was it
10-3? Did they make that field goal before? It doesn't matter. Anyway, we were losing at halftime.
Yeah.
And then came back and we won it. But let me just say, so we won by we thought 3 points.
We thought a field goal at the very end, field goal with 12 seconds or 12 10 seconds, seconds or something. Left. Yeah. And we're very excited about
field
that.
Goal. I think there were 7 seconds when Illinois got the football back. Mm-hmm. And they snapped it. They did all this crazy.
Was that not the craziest
play?
They lateraled it.
They were trying to lateral all the way down the field. It was crazy. And then all of a sudden at the end, we picked it.
They fumbled
and we got a pick six.
Scoop and score.
Scoop and score. And it was such, y'all.
And
it
ran
was
down
just
and
such
scored
a,
and got another touchdown.
It was such a Mike Leach finish. You talk about swing your sword.
It was that, a mess.
Anyway, so the other thing that I loved about it, the commentators, I don't know if you saw this or not. Commentators were, obviously talking about Mike Leach through the whole game and things that he'd said and crazy things that he did and their personal relationship. But one of the things they said was he used to make fun of us all the time for wearing our ties. Up here, he's like, "Why are y'all wearing ties to comment on this ball game? Why are y'all doing that? If you were at home sitting, would you be wearing a tie watching football? I said, why are you doing it here?" So they end up they talked about it, and then it came back to them the next break. It came back, and they'd ripped those ties off.
They had.
It was great.
It was cute. They were like, "Look at us, no ties." We're like, "He's right. Why are we wearing ties?" It was just, little Will Rogers, after he was done and it was time for the kicker came on to kick at the end to hopefully win the game for them. Otherwise, it would have been tied and they would have gone to overtime. But, I mean, he was, I don't know, his face, Joni, he was just, you could see he was so focused, like hardcore. I don't think you could have broken his foot. He was just on the sideline, kneeling down, just like was tuned in. I mean, he was dialed in, and you just thought, oh my goodness. So it was
It had to be just a tremendously emotional day. I mean, mm-hmm. it was for me. I'm about to cry talking about it right now.
Yeah.
But for all those players, I just, and especially knowing some of them just do not have good backgrounds. You know, they're trying to dig out of what they've come through and when Mike Leach gives you a chance, mm-hmm. I mean, that's huge. Yeah.
When a coach believes in you and those relationships are formed. So we just know it was so special, and what a relief for them. They've had a fun time down there in Tampa. You know, they showed clips of them all through the week on Instagram, you know, playing and at the beach, acting like 10-year-olds and throwing each other in the water and at roller coasters and stuff in Tampa, I guess Busch Gardens or whatever.
Yeah.
And just having some fun together. And then getting to dial in and focus and play today and win. I think they're all going to go home and tonight they're just going to hopefully watch the Rose Bowl together and just, be able to kind of loosen up a little bit emotionally and so forth. So we are very proud. We're very happy and very excited. So we had to get that.
It's a good day to be a Bulldog.
It's a good day.
Anyway,
oh, I was so stressed. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, so hey, how's your new year? What's going on? How were all the things? Christmas, everything.
Well, why don't you go first? Because you've had a better Christmas than I did.
Well, I don't know. We've had a pretty good Christmas, I'm not gonna lie. So about A week before Christmas, the weekend before Christmas, my oldest, Thatcher, got engaged to the wonderful Jessica. So finally happened. We were thrilled beyond belief and excited beyond belief. I mean, wedding planning is in full blown. Any of you who Enneagram, she's a type three. She's a strong three. So she is getting it done, locked and loaded, and just having the best time. We could not be more thrilled. With that said, we have to share the most designer cornbread story of all of how of how Joni and Ron and their whole family found out about the engagement literally at the same time we did.
Yes. Yeah. So let me this is
tell
from
your
my
side.
End.
Tell,
let me
tell
this
your
is
end.
My end. I am the Vikings are playing that day. We're also a big my husband is originally from Minnesota. That's so right. We're all big Viking fans. And this guy, I don't even remember who they were playing. This has been so long ago. But at halftime, it was like 33-0.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay. So my granddaddy had a favorite, famous quote, and I quote it all the time. If you leave before the final buzzer sounds, you may very well miss the best play of the game. Well, that's all fine and dandy, but it was close to Christmas. Had a million things to do. It's 33-0. I ain't going to miss the best play of the
game.
No,
it's fine. So, we had stuff to do. Yep.
Had things to do. And then, so I'm back. I mean, we'd done a million things. And then we go, I'm downstairs wrapping gifts. And Caleb comes and beats on the door and says, Mom, the Vikings just tied it. And I said, what? He said, they just tied it. Oh, and Thatcher just got engaged. I said,
what is happening? What? Did he do it at the Vikings game? What's going on?
That's your side note. The Vikings tied it. That's what you're excited about. And the sudden, and Thatcher got engaged. Well, here's what happened. Hudson.
Well, yeah, let me tell my end, and then you get back in. Okay. So basically, Thatcher and Jess and a bunch of friends, they were in New York City for the weekend to celebrate Jess's birthday. She's got a December birthday. So they were all in New York City having a great time and all that. So, you know, back in my brain, I'm kind of like, and we've known he's had the ring and, you know, all that kind of good stuff. So it wasn't like surprise, surprise. But the point being, we've just been kind of waiting. And Avery and I are out doing errands, driving around. And we're getting close to home, and my phone rings, but it's way in my purse, and I just leave it. We're almost home. I'll get it when we get home. So I pull into the driveway, and I go ahead and pull my phone out and to see who it was, and it was Thatcher had tried to FaceTime. We FaceTime a lot, like on the phone. That's a normal, you know, kind of a normal thing, if it's just a chit-chat and whatnot. And they were in New York, so I thought, oh, maybe they're somewhere, you know, fun, and whenever they get a minute, you know, you take the call, and maybe they're out somewhere neat, want to show me. So I tried to call him back right away, and it didn't go through, and I couldn't get him. Meanwhile, Tim is like coming out the door, which is really unusual. He's coming out the front door of the house, which I know some of your husbands may come and greet you at the door, you know, and come out every time you come home. But I mean, sometimes, but not usually. So he comes out and is like, I don't know. I'm on the phone. I'm trying to get, and he's like, did you get Thatcher? Are you on with Thatcher? Are you on with Thatcher? I'm like, well, no, I'm trying to call him. I missed him. I'm trying to call. You need to call him. You need to call him. He's getting all crazy eyed. So at this point, I'm like, okay, hold the phone. Go inside. Somehow call or he calls me back. Somehow we connect then. And he and Jess are on it together, showing the ring. She just shows the ring, and we're engaged and all that kind of stuff. And we're hooting and hollering on the FaceTime downstairs. Continue your story, Joni. Hudson was upstairs.
So Hudson is upstairs, and he's on the computer playing a game with my boys. And they have, I don't know how it works, but they're all connected. And so they're all, their mics are all hot and all of this. And so anyway, Caleb hears, I think you must have called Hudson to come
downstairs.
We
were yelling. I think we were just yelling, and Tim, we were excited.
So
and Hudson came running down.
So, okay. So then we, our families watch a lot of the same ball games. So Caleb has the Vikings on while he's playing this game. And huge comeback, huge play.
Yeah, it was really
and
exciting.
And he hears all the hollering. They both do. Caleb and John Garrett hear all this. Wah! Caleb literally picks up the phone and has Tim punched in and is going to call and say, I know the Vikings are coming back. When he hears Tim go, they're engaged.
He proposed. He's yelling. And Caleb was like, oh.
So
they heard when we heard.
They're heard. Yeah, we heard when Holly. And
I mean.
So Caleb says, are you going to call Aunt Holly? And I said, no, I'm going to let Aunt Holly call me. And so a couple of days later, you did call and you said, hey, so I've got some good news. I said, what, that your son's engaged?
She totally ruined the whole thing. She's like, what, that your son's engaged? And I was like, what in the world? I mean, that could have been a wild guess, but I was like, you were so certain. I'm like, yeah. And then she's like, we heard over the computer as soon as, yeah. I was dying. I'm like, of course you did. Of course. You guys were literally basically in the room. Caleb was, you know. Listening to our live reaction. So that just cracked us up even more. And yes, I waited a day or so, because I'm trying to let people like family get know, you know, make sure like grandparents. Right. I'm like, when can I spill the beans? So,
and of course, and they had all these beautiful pictures that, of course, my voice instantly started mocking Thatcher for.
Poor Thatcher. And, he did such a good job down on the knee in Central Park with the skyline in the background. I mean, it was all his little friends like hiding in the bushes.
Yes.
It was hilarious. It was like all of a sudden they kind of walked out onto this rock and the friends are all kind of like, you know, scurrying and hiding and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. And it was really funny because Thatch says, well, we got out there and there was this these couple of Indian guys from India who were out there looking around and talking and stuff. And they were on the rod. They were on the spot that I wanted to do it. So I was kind of like waiting and, you know, kind of lingering until they walked off. But they were really nearby when I did it. And they ended up taking pictures. They ended up getting those really good pictures of him with his arms
great.
Up.
Yeah.
Because they were really close. And so then they grabbed one of the friends and sent it to them. So it was very precious, much cheering in the park. And, it's just we're beyond excited. We're beyond excited. So Designer Cornbread goes to Florida.
Hey.
In July. Yes, y'all, we're excited. So we'll be filling you in on lots of plans and debacles. And then, oh my goodness, I don't know if I think I told you this. I don't know. Yeah, I did. I texted you this. Sorry. It's been a while. We really haven't chatted.
I know.
So then Thatcher got home before Christmas, a couple days before Christmas. And he's just like barely home and he's in the kitchen. Hudson's in the kitchen and they're cooking and doing something. And he just leans over at, just goes, hey, you want to be my best man? And Hudson looks over at him like, it was so cash. Like, it's so dude.
Yes.
And Hudson looked over at him, though. And I mean, the look of surprise on his face was.
Right.
And he goes, who, me? And Thatcher's like, yeah. He's like, who else would it be? And
yeah, they lost
so,
it.
It was so precious. And, because Hudson was like, I thought, you one of your buddies, Josh, or your good friend.
Right?
No. So that did me in.
Yeah.
Avery's in the wedding. Jessa, she's going to be in the wedding. You guys, I'm not going to make it. I am. I'm going to make it. It's going to be fun. But it was really, really precious. And so his good friend, Josh, who he's been living with for several years now, Thatcher's, is going to be the, because then Hudson goes, I have to do like a speech or something, don't I? And we're like, yeah, And he's like, okay. And then as we were talking about it more and the best man usually plans like a bachelor party and they do weekends away. Like they don't do just like come and let's sit.
Right.
Anyway, but it's real sweet because Thatcher's like, no, he's like, Josh is going to be the operational best man. Like you don't have to do any of those. Like you don't have to coordinate at age 19.
You're not taking us to Vegas.
He's like, okay, good. Cause I was like, yeah, y'all will be upstairs. We'd be rock climbing and y'all would be upstairs playing video games. That's
right. That's it. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, so that really is sweet and that'll all work out great. So, that's that. And then on top of that, a few days, let's see, one, the day after Christmas, Avery's sweet boyfriend, Joey, came, and he just left today. He's been here for a week.
Oh, wow.
So we've had people and things, and it's just been, I have no idea. You know that meme you've seen on, like, Facebook or whatever, and it's like the little stick figures, and one of them, he's got, like, a Santa hat, and he's like, you know, Merry Christmas and happy, and then, like, the next one, it was, like, December 25th, and then it's, like, the 26th through the second, it's like I'm full of cheese and I don't know what day it is. I don't know what day it is. Not a ton of cheese, well, but some cheese. And
in my head, I've had it Saturday all day long because we're watching football.
Exactly. And so it's so confusing. Football's on.
I know.
I don't know what's going
on. But I have to go to school tomorrow. You know what, though? I say I have to go.
You're right.
Can I tell you how thankful that I am that I have a job that I get off 2 weeks at Christmas?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, that's when I first started teaching, and I thought, nobody lives like this. I mean, I had a week off at fall break, and then another week off for Thanksgiving, and then I go back, and I thought, okay, nobody else lives like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's great, and it's going to be good to get back in routine. But
yeah, it always is. It always is. As much as it's so fun to have the break, I've got so many things I need to do, so many new files I need to make and organize that I've, you know, got a lot of good stuff to do. So it's time, but
Well, good.
Yeah. Good. So what all did you, give me a little rundown of your, what did you all?
Okay. So, you know, we had Christmas Adam.
That's right.
Well, first we had... What did John Garrett start calling it? Christmas Garrett.
Okay.
That's his Christmas party now with his friends.
Okay.
And that was the day before Christmas Adam. So we had John Garrett's group of friends over. And then the next day we had Caleb's group of friends. And then it was Christmas Eve brunch. And
oh my goodness. Wow. You know,
and then Christmas on Sunday.
Yes.
And then, but the boys, and I did, you know, it would have been so easy just to stay home and clean and do. And, but the boys wanted to go to Branson.
That's right. That's right.
So
you had a little quick.
We did. We drove over. We got about 2 inches of ice and snow. But the highways were clear.
That's
so,
right. You left right when we had a big storm come through right before Christmas here.
But it was really beautiful because, you know, I've never driven that way in the snow.
Yeah.
And, you know, and all those fields were covered with snow. It was just a beautiful drive. And we had a beautiful stay. But I'm here to tell you, Branson was wackadoodle crazy.
Really? It was busy?
It was. I will never
really
go back over the holidays again.
Oh, I would have thought a lot of people would not. I would have thought it'd been calm.
No. When we were there, I think Silver Dollar City said there were 20,000 people in the park. The couple of days we had another family from here went, they were there 2 days after us. They had 25,000 people. It's just too much. It's too much. All over Branson, it just was.
Wow. I didn't realize it was that.
Okay. Let me give you, and nobody's going to understand this unless you have been to Silver Dollar City. One of the most nostalgic rides for me, aside from Fire in the Hole, is the Flooded Mine.
Yes.
Y'all, it is a bunch of mannequins.
It's so hokey.
You get on a boat.
Welcome to the mine train. Welcome to the toil. There's like a whole song.
There is.
It's great.
I used to have it memorized. And now, and you shoot at these little target things.
Yeah, you get like a little score on your gun or whatever.
But, and it's a very nostalgic and it's great. But it's not the best ride at Silver Dollar City, right?
No, I guess not.
Well, for you, maybe.
Speed.
You know.
No, you're right. It's not.
It was lined up all the way past the train depot.
Oh, my goodness.
That was the line.
Oh,
for the
boy.
Flooded mine.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy.
Okay. Well, but you got to go. You did a little bit.
But I did. And I saw our homestead pickers. And, of course, they always ask about you. Becker is so sweet,
so sweet.
He is
the sweetest.
Wants to know if you're still working at the gun shop. That's really made an impression on him.
I do what I can.
Yeah. And Danny, you know, I was afraid. Well, I don't know if I should say this or not. I guess Danny was toying around with retiring.
Yeah. Well, and he's definitely of the age where he could.
But he's coming back. So oh, I did. I went good. Up to him. And I mean, I really was going to have a moment.
I know.
I was going to have a moment of, you know, and I said, is this it? He said, no.
Okay.
No. He said, I just signed my papers to come back. And I went,
okay. Thelma and Louise are going
to
ride
again. I really
again.
Was going to like have a moment. But yeah, Thelma and Louise are going to have to make
we
a
We need to
we gotta
get
make
down
a
there.
Trip.
Yeah, definitely.
Gotta make
absolutely.
A trip.
Oh, well, and, that is wonderful.
Yeah,
that
it really
great.
Was. It was good. Good to see all of them.
Yeah. What else did you guys do? Did you do anything besides Silver Dollar City, or did you just do that?
So the next day we got there Tuesday night, and then Wednesday went to Silver Dollar City, which I was thankful because of all the crowds, that was the least crowded.
Yeah. Okay.
Of course, the lights are beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's they're just gorgeous at Christmas, but it's just too much. And then Thursday, the boys, they took a friend with them and they all wanted to go through the Titanic Museum.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'd just been through with Mom and Mary.
Yeah.
I said, I'm
yeah.
just going to sit out in the car. Y'all take your time. I'm good.
You just
I'm,
sat in the car while they were in that museum?
I sit there and watch Perry Mason.
Joey.
I'm loving Perry Mason.
Oh, y'all, we need to have a break.
No. Because it
you
was too
sat,
crowded.
But
was,
I would have just dropped them off and then gone somewhere else and
no,
sat.
No, that's what I'm saying. It was too crowded to go to anywhere.
Lord.
I mean, everywhere was packed. I was completely, perfectly calm in the safety of my car.
You were fine.
Alone. Just me and
Perry
Mason and Della Street.
Okay. That is really about
and
the
Paul
most 85-year-old woman thing you've ever done in your life.
I love Perry Mason.
I do too, but I don't watch it in my car in Branson.
What was I going to do?
Oh my gosh. People, we need an intervention right now.
No. Let me tell you. Nobody dropped the F-bomb. There's no cussing. Everybody knows what gender they are.
I know.
Perry Mason. I'm liking Perry Mason.
I'm liking it too. You're just not allowed to watch it in your car.
At the time.
What is happening?
Anyway.
Oh my gosh, y'all.
Then, let's see. Then we went to. Then we went to Little Hacienda. Which is a new it's a Mexican restaurant in Branson that I highly, highly, highly recommend.
Okay.
So good. Anyway, so we went there and then went to the Hollywood Wax Museum.
Oh, that's kind of scary. Was it scary?
It was interesting.
They're scary, you guys. Those wax figures are scary because they totally come to life at night.
There are some, I'm going to tell you, it looked like they were looking right at you.
I know.
I mean,
freaky.
Some it looked totally looked fake, but some of it I was like, okay, you're like, looking right at me.
And what if they had like a real person in there, like staged as an
actor? I know,
actor,
that's
and
what
then
I
they
said.
Started
if one
moving,
of these moves.
Oh my gosh,
I'm
that would have been
it.
They would have got kung fu'd right, panned right in the head.
Yep. And then we went down to the landing.
Mm-hmm, okay.
And went shopping, and Caleb ate at his little restaurant. But then Caleb gets really bad sinus headaches.
Yeah, and let me tell you what, the weather right now and between then and now has been.
Yeah.
Up in Missouri, it has been insane.
So Caleb and I both get them, and they are near migraines.
I'm so sorry.
And
so,
you know, I mean, and it probably is a migraine. I just don't want to call it, but you know, it's the light sensitivity.
Oh, okay. That doesn't sound like
the
sinus.
Nausea. Oh, it is.
Yeah.
That's
migraine.
If you can catch it close enough, though, with like Tylenol, sinus, it'll go away. But if it lingers, it hits migraine level stuff. So. We get back in the car, and of course, and he has to put on, it's dark, but he has to put on the sunglasses from the oncoming traffic.
Oh, yeah.
And I kept saying, are you okay? Are you, of course, you know, in the Ozarks, there's not a straight road.
And Caleb Shank is known for barfing in the Ozarks. He's barfed
so
in every car he's ever been in.
Condo, and bless his heart, he tries to make it to the bushes.
Nope,
he
barfed.
Not I, all in the parking
I called
lot.
It. I'm like, that boy going to barf. He's going to barf.
John
for sure.
Garrett has to go. I was like, just go get me like buckets of water from the condo or something, you know, and I'm out there trying to, it was awful.
Oh my goodness. Y'all.
And then it just didn't stop. He continued for a while and I made him get in bed with me. And he finally was better after a while. But anyway.
Good grief. Bless his heart. That's awful.
So.
Well, I told you there was going to be barfing. That boy has barfed all over the Ozarks. Remember when they were little and we'd go
Garrett's.
Well, and we'd stay at the Garrett's about, you know, 45 minutes away or so from Branson back in the days when we had millions of little kids and needed to save money. And they all had so much fun running around. But anyway, so we'd go to Silver Dollar City. And, of course, you're stuffing your face all day. All the things, and then get back in that car to go late at night back through those dark
curves.
It was always a little rough. Yes. But well, you had a good time. You made some memories.
We did. My favorite is when we were actually coming to Tim's dad's funeral. Mm. And we cut through.
Your favorite Caleb barf story?
No, this is a JB barf story.
Oh, good. Okay. Oh, yeah.
But I don't know, front was coming through and it was so windy. So on top of the curves, and we cut up through, you know, this little two-lane road because it was a little shorter and it was hilly and curvy and the wind was blowing like crazy. And then that's pushing, you know, the back of your car a little bit and it's just not making for a pleasant driving experience. And JB says, I'm getting sick. Of course, we are dressed for the funeral. And we jump out of the car and JB immediately vomits into the wind.
It's so not funny.
It's not funny. But I was
don't spit into the wind.
Oh, I mean, it just immediately all came right back.
I cannot think of a worse thing to have your own warm vomit come back in your face. I just.
Somebody else's warm vomit come back into your face.
Well, okay. No, it's probably. Yeah. No, you're right. But oh my gosh. Oh, that's the worst. That's the absolute worst.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So, now that we've grossed everyone totally out.
Yes.
But, you know, hey, vomit happens.
Anyway, but that has been Thanksgiving. I mean, Christmas. I don't know what holiday it is.
I'm full of cheese and I don't know what's going on.
New Year's Eve. Our church actually had a little New Year's Eve party.
Oh, fun.
It was really nice.
That is cool.
A good little deal.
Okay. So. Awesome. Yeah, that's great. We didn't do anything special for New Year. I mean, we just hung out. Joey and Avery were here.
Our church is really committed to, we're starting a whole new, you know, coming out of COVID. Everybody's kind of gotten away. So we're kind of starting I don't want to say a rebuilding, but it is.
It's kind of
coming back to who we used to be. So this year we're really focusing on our family. And so each week, we are committed to praying. Like this week, we are all praying, thy will be done. Mm. Now, we don't know what his will is, but we're praying, thy will be done. And next week, we are praying God's will over our family. And so it keeps building throughout the year as to, you know, family involvement and being the example.
That sounds cool.
I'm really excited about
that's
it.
That's an excellent, yeah. I mean, I can hardly think of a better focus, intention, and speaking of, you know, New Year's and goals and you know, and some people poo-poo them. Some people are like, "Hey, you should set a goal." But there is something that feels to me new and
it's a restart.
It feels that way. Now, it feels that way because we've decided it feels that way. I guess there's something to be said about that.
You know, you come into the end of the year 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Overeating, over partying, over spending,
I mean, it's literally
huge,
time to put the brakes on. You want to, and you want your mind is again, you celebrated, you've, you know, done all the things and now you're ready again, routines, whether that's job or kids or family or whatever. It just feels good. It feels, it feels really good to me. It's a natural part of, I look at it as part of the rhythm of the year, the flow of the year. I don't always make like a formal kind of like resolution or goal. I mean, I'd like to be better intentional about goal setting. I'll call it goal setting. So I'd like to do that in different areas and I'm kind of working on that a little bit. So I'm going to start one of the things I'm going to do this month is do the Whole 30 eating program. Of course, everyone tries to do different, not everyone, but it's popular to do different health and eating. But, and again, it's not a, The overall resolution or goal is to just get back to feeling good and getting my body being healthy. I, of course, would love to lose weight. Everyone does. But it's really, you know, this is a big year coming up. We're going to be traveling everywhere. There's a lot of fun getting ready to happen. We've got two graduations from colleges within a week of each other. Avery graduates and then Thatch graduates from Vanderbilt. And then we've got weddings. We've going down to Florida in March to plan the, you know, so fun, exciting stuff. Right. And I just, I want to feel better. There's some things that don't feel great. And so, yeah, so I'm inspired to do it really for that reason.
Yeah.
So that, I'm also doing like a lymph cleaning, like challenge kind of thing. Cause I really feel like I can just tell my lymph system is just congested. I don't even know how else to say it. I'm sure everyone is really excited to hear about that, but it improves all your circulation. You do dry brushing and you do, you know, just things to get your circulation really in your body and your lymph system going so it can get rid of the toxins and the stuff in you that you don't, that aren't good and all that good stuff. So, you know, it's just going to be a whole new me. I don't know, you guys, just, we'll see. Again, it'll be interesting. But so those are kind of like partly the serious, you know, kind of immediate goals. I need to work through some more. I want to. I don't need to work through some more tangible. Again, because I really am a big believer in goal setting. Like, you know, it's got to be kind of specific. You know, it, to me, it does no good to just be like, you know, let's save more money. Well,
yeah, but you don't have a plan to do it. You gotta have a plan.
Right. Well, nothing specific. It's just save money. I mean, that's great, but if you have to really,
you've gotta
think through it.
Yeah. So I have a question for you. How do you decorate after Christmas?
I don't. What I do is, in fact, I just did a little, we leave Christmas up, to be honest. We leave Christmas up. Definitely past Epiphany.
Right. I do too.
Yeah.
Well, I've taken all my outside and stuff down, but I leave my trees up.
Yeah. And if you have people that are helping you and you're kind of needing the timing of all that, we always have left it up. Cause again, you know, you talk about, I mean, again, it's just, it's too fast. I don't want to put it all up and then just have to turn around and take it all down.
Right.
I want it up. I want to enjoy it. And this is, again, when we kind of are talking about the calendar, the church calendar and all that, this is the season of Christmas in the church calendar.
Right.
It's this, you know, this past Sunday was the second week of Christmas. There's Advent and there's Christmas and then there's Epiphany.
Right.
And then I think there's a break till Pentecost, you know, so I still really feel, you know, and it's dark and cold, except it's been 60 degrees now. My allergies are
going
crazy.
Gosh, it's
awful. I can't even, I can't breathe. I'm sneezing. But so basically, to answer your question, though, we leave Christmas up, but then when it definitely comes a point where I'm like, okay, I'm done and whatever, I'll start to take stuff down. But I already have kind of some of the stuff that I do to get ready for Christmas is really just making wintering the house, so making it wintry. So the only things that are like really Christmas are the trees, and even them, like this one behind me, even it's got like all white like pine cones and like, you know, it's a tree, so. You know, it's a Christmas tree.
I like the pine and the white lights still.
I do,
you know,
too.
Just little.
I do too. Anything that still feels like winter.
Right.
So I decorate, you know, I do a lot. Like I said, I put in different blankets and kind of made the house winter. The mantle can kind of stay because it's just kind of greenery and some brass candle. You know, it's nothing. So I don't have to do a lot. Now, there will come a point in, you know, I took down the stockings today. They're bright colored on the banister of the stair. You know, I'm like, okay, I'm done with that. But I do a lot of pine cones and a lot of just brown and white and green and winter looking stuff. So I don't have to like quick change it. Now there will come a point, like I said, that like I'm done with the mantle being that much stuff on it.
Right.
And like in January at some point or February, I'll kind of maybe I'll take that down and I'll make a really clean, simple mantle, you know, winter, very stark and kind of simple.
It's a little refreshing to me to take down all the, I call it hoopla.
Yeah. Cause it's a lot.
You know, it's a lot. And I, I like the clean and the simple and the all over again. But
I do too. In the winter, and that's wintry too, because it's that stark, it's that beauty of the stark of the bare trees, of the bare branches you might have. You know, it's that reflecting again. Anything that I can do to kind of reflect what's going on outside is, now Christmas is obviously kind of an anomaly because it's crazy and lights and, you know, stuff everywhere. But I'm the same as you. I like at some point just really take it basic, basic. And then I don't really do much until, you know, Easter / spring. You know, but even then I keep it pretty, I keep that pretty simple. Yeah. I don't do a whole lot. So yeah, there you go. I wonder what everyone does who's listening. What do you all do? Would love to hear. How long do you leave it out? Are you a throw the tree out the day after Christmas kind of family?
I am not. I mean, and I, a member of my family is like that. And it just, I mean, the day after Christmas, the tree's gone.
Even, I have no energy for it. We're still cleaning up. We're still cleaning up the wrapping paper. Yeah. Yes. Like we do not. No, I am not interested in that.
But I do like, but Epiphany is, you know, I just, that's a good mark for me.
It is good.
Is
12 days Epiphany. Of Christmas, Epiphany, all that, that season. It just feels very nice at the end. You know, it's a nice bookend. You almost have as much, not quite as much maybe, but time on the other side of Christmas as you have beforehand, which I just really like. Makes me
very happy. Here's my next question.
Okay.
Do you have a winter playlist?
I do.
What is on your winter playlist?
I do.
No, I'm just kind of.
I don't care. I'm happy
because
to tell
I'm restarting everything. Oh, and by the way, Caleb Shank informed me of this. Homestead Pickers are on Spotify.
Oh,
I know.
Well, of course they are. Why didn't I think of that?
They are on Spotify.
Oh my goodness. Oh, I'm gonna have to add them on here. All right, I have one. Let me see. Hang on. Where are you?
So I like
winter soundtrack. Yeah. Well, you tell me your stuff.
Tend to like Ella Fitzgerald. And Etta James and Frank Sinatra. Yes. I really tend to go to the old school.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I have no rhyme or reason, except that's just kind of what I like in the winter. Actually, I like them all year long. But that's kind of in the winter. I don't know. I really like those. Who else did I think for winter? I don't know.
I have like...
Dean Martin.
Oh, there you go. I do like some. I definitely do like some of that. I kind of lean a little bit into that because it feels Valentine's-y to me too.
I guess maybe.
It kind of feels like, you know, like I have on here. I just looked. It's like I've got a crush on you, Tony Bennett, and you know, I love. I have a lot of Diana Krall. I have
Norah Jones.
I have a little bit of that. I have. I have some Jim Brickman. Remember Jim Brickman piano?
Yeah, yeah.
Like he had a really nice, in fact, there's a song on here. I'll do a lot of titles too. Like this, the song of his is called December Morning.
Yeah.
And then I've got some Enya.
Yeah.
Because they are feel very wintry to me.
And George Winston has a nice winter album.
He does. So I have some George Winston. I have a lot of just themey kind of, but. You know, a song called, I don't know who this is, but it's A Raven in the Snow. Here's a Sarah McLachlan song for a winter's night.
Yeah.
Winter song, 'Twas the Moon of Wintertime by somebody or other. Yeah. And then I do have some kind of classics. Diana Krall does a lot of those.
Yeah. Yep.
The American Songbook. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot of that. Moonlight Becomes You by Ella Fitzgerald. Moonlight in Vermont. I mean, I just kind of go with... Yeah. Things that feel sound-wise wintry, but theme-like wintry too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's well, fun. And well, then we'll
I
share them.
Whole, yeah, we should.
Yeah.
I have a whole, and we'll talk about this a little later, not on this show, but I do a widow's dinner for Valentine's Day. And so I have a whole playlist of that.
That's a great one.
That, you know, and that's a lot of those old singers.
That's great. And what a fun one for like a Valentine's dinner or anything like that. That's really fun. I definitely love those too. So we'll stick those up. I just wrote a little note to you know, link to our little winter playlist for you. And yeah, so it's just time to kind of curl up. And what are you? I've got a question for you. Okay. So we talked a little bit about some kind of, you know, more serious, and we can talk more about goals and things next week too, as we're, again, it doesn't just pop into your, you got to kind of like, what's going on? What are you feeling like?
Yeah.
What do you have any, what I'll call low level goals? So last year I made a low level goal, to learn to like to drink beer. So, which I did it, y'all. I accomplished it. I felt good about myself. Because I hated beer. I hated it. And it was gross. And it tastes like truck stop bathroom deodorizers to me. So.
Okay.
So last year, I think it was last year, I, instead of making some big lofty kind of goals, I just was like, I can't, after 2020 and 2021, I'm like, I just can't reach that high. Yeah. I just can't. I'm going to put a low level, you know, on that lowest branch of the tree that I can maybe do, and I can attain that goal. And I'm happy to report. I'm happy to report that I really did it. I really did it.
Congratulations. So,
thank you. Thank you. I feel really good about myself too, actually, if you want to know, because I did it. How many of you have met your goal from last year? Mine was in the can by June.
One summer in my pool.
It was. That helped me too. So anyway, so my one, I do have a teeny little one that it's not as big as the, to learn to like to drink beer, but I want to master the lashes. I want to master how the heck to put on the lashes, because I just have given up, and I figured that could be a goal this year that I could really get after it and, you know, make that happen. So what do you have any low level, are you willing to commit to a low level goal?
And it involves you.
Oh.
Surprise. No, I want to learn to crochet.
Oh.
And I used to do a lot of like needlework and all that. So I think it would be fairly easy for me to pick up.
It would be.
But I can't watch a video.
Oh.
And do it.
Oh.
I have to have somebody. I am totally a kinesthetic learner.
Okay.
I have to hands-on do it.
Well, I do it. That's how I learned was, and I did have a book, but to me, the book was very hard because the illustrations don't show the motion. So it's like you have to, but YouTube videos have been very helpful because, and then you can pause it and then you do it. You do it along with you. And so that is
so
very helpful.
Yeah, that's my, you know, my low level.
Oh my gosh. Joni, think of all the ponchos you can crochet.
I am so excited. 100%.
Oh my goodness. Right, you can make us designer cornbread matching ponchos. Yep. We could have a whole line of merch of poncho designer cornbread ponchos. Okay, wait, I'm having a flash.
Well, you already know how to do it. So go ahead and get started on that. Yeah.
I might, but you got to do it too. And these are handmade designer cornbread
ponchos,
crocheted ponchos. People would pay tens of dollars for those.
We can get Cracker Barrel to carry them.
You guys, does anyone?
We have talked about doing a designer cornbread cookbook. And I think
we're doing that.
That may not be because you're going to have to get through the wedding this summer.
No, it takes a lot of prep and planning. That's not for year one.
But
I think that's a goal for sure. But we have to talk about the ponchos again. You've gotten off of the ponchos.
Okay,
I'm very excited about them. Who do we know who works for Cracker Barrel?
I don't know anybody that works for Cracker Barrel.
Somebody out there. One of y'all knows somebody that knows somebody. We are definitely less than three separations from someone who is big and in charge of Cracker Barrel. And
we're talking about doing hand knit ponchos for Cracker Barrel.
Yes, but you know what? What if we license out our designs and we get someone else, we get some little children around the world to make them for us.
Oh my gosh.
I kid. And then we could really be rolling.
Ooh.
It's a joke, people. It's a joke.
But
we could have our own line of, that is what we should start with 100% is ponchos.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm literally going to make this happen.
Okay.
Okay. Somehow.
I need a Mississippi State poncho.
Yeah, you really do.
I do.
I could work on crocheting you one of those in the colors and kind of get that going. Oh my gosh. We could do all kinds of SEC colors.
Yes.
Oh man. I'm recording. Go away. My husband just poked his face in.
Hello, Timmy.
Hello, Timmy. Anyway, I'm seriously excited about this. But all of that is to say, just start with like a sample, you know, just start with a scarf or something, but you will pick it up. It's really fun. It's fun. I haven't done it for a while just because I have enough scarves. I don't need to do any more for Chameleon for selling. I have enough inventory of that, but I was going to start a blanket. But maybe now I need to mess with a poncho design. Oh my gosh, I would die. Yep. I could make some really cute ones.
Yes, you could. Yeah.
Okay. Fine. People, the people are demanding it. And the people is us.
So let me just tell you that Caleb Shank is such an overachiever, though. He says, you know, I think I want to learn how to like carve wood. And so I got him a little wood carving kit for Christmas.
Oh, that's nice.
Holly, on his first attempt, he carved out a little man.
I saw that you posted on our text thread, that dude with a little beard and a hat, and it's really cute looking.
It's really, really cute.
He could absolutely work at Silver Dollar City.
His first try. I mean, I just was like, okay.
Oh my gosh.
I couldn't carve a toothpick. Yeah. And he's like, you know, I'm thinking I've got some good gifts coming my way in the future.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. No, it was really cute. It was neat looking. You could tell exactly. It was like a little old man.
The detail in the beard and the nose. It just was. I'll post some pictures on our
please,
site.
Yeah, please. Yeah, do. I'm expecting a little carved something too. That would be super fun. He can just do those for us all year long.
He can carve Timmy.
Well, he could.
A little wooden Timmy.
I don't want a little wooden Timmy. I have a big real life Timmy. I don't want another one. I'm good. Okay. We're good on that. But yeah, that was really cool. That's a really cool hobby that he's just picked up on. So if he can do that, you can crochet. I feel really good about it.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, that's exciting. Okay, so yours is to crochet. I just want to put lashes on. We clearly, you have the more noble goal. I'll make another one.
I gotta tell you, I don't know that I would ever do false lashes. I just don't know that I'm going to ever take the time.
I know, that's the thing. That's
to ever, and I feel like that I would look like a bird.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. It's a whole like mystery to me. I don't know either.
Just not really.
You just are. You're not in that way. And I don't know that anyway. I see people who have them on like all the time. I'm like, do you really put those on every day? But I guess like anything, you get better at it and you're good and it's not a big deal, but.
And let's just be honest right now. I have on no makeup, yoga pants.
Yeah.
And there is not an over the shoulder boulder holder on my body.
Maybe you could crochet one of those.
I did shave my legs this morning.
Okay.
Though,
you know what? Nobody wants to know. Nobody wants to know about that. You guys, I'm sorry. We've gotten really deep.
Mary Margaret does.
Okay.
M Square, right. You want to know.
She didn't want to know. This has been enough foolishness. We got to move it along. We're gonna go to our, do you have a recipe that you want to share?
You know.
What are you going to do?
I really thought that soups would be a good time. This would be a good time to do some soups. But dang, it's spring out right now.
I know. Listen, guys, my head.
But I still think.
No, it's gray and it's kind of rainy here. So
I've got a chicken and wild rice soup. Mm-hmm. That is so good. And I've got a chicken gnocchi soup that I enjoy. Have I already done those?
You know what? I think maybe you've done the wild rice. You might have done the wild rice one. Why don't you keep track? Why don't you keep a Trello board and keep track of your recipes you've done? Actually, we could put that on the Trello and we could just jot down so then you know what. Yeah, in your spare time, you can figure that out. I could do that, though, because I could go back and look at the website and then just
need to go back and put some pictures.
Yeah, but when you get to it.
But I think,
you know.
I'll find some soups. I'll look at what I've done.
I think that sounds good.
And I have a really good chicken and dumpling recipe, too.
That would be good. Speaking of our Cracker Barrel theme.
There's, yeah.
Oh, it's such a great place. Okay. Look for our designs, you guys. It could happen. You don't know. Awesome. Okay. I lost her. All right. I guess it's my week to do top three, which
it's
my week. And I still don't have theme music. I'm sorry. It may not happen. Okay. So my top three that I've been enjoying was one of the things Tim got me for Christmas. Well, I guess got for all of us really, but for me was one of those massager guns. You know, the guns that massage you like a jackhammer on you, and they have the different tips and he got me one of those, and I really like it, because I just get, I have very bad shoulder. All my tension is in my neck and my shoulder. It's terrible. But then also, like, it makes my arm muscles, I don't know, something weird's going on the left side of my body. Somebody tell me what it is, but don't tell me, because I'm scared.
What's going on the left side of your body?
I don't, it's like a muscle thing. It's not, and they just get really tight. And they won't loosen up. So I put this thing like on my leg or down your calves, but on your thigh muscle and stuff. And it just loosens it up. Anyway, it feels really good. And I really like it. And we're all going to use it and enjoy that. So that was good. And then we also, my second thing is we got new fireplace tools finally after like 20 years of using these kind of broken down hand-me-downs from some friends of ours that were so bad. They were so bad. But, you know, they would come loose and they were just terrible. And so in November or so, we decided to be grownups. And, you know, because they're not cheap. The good ones are not. They're not cheap. But it's a lovely gift. So we got that for us and a new fireplace grate. And they're really beautiful, heavy, twisted metal, like gray, like a black gray kind of iron. You know, in the real little broom that has the little bristles, and they're just really substantial, and we really like them. We've been using them. So that is my second favorite thing. And then my third favorite thing was I have a little key lime bush that I bought back in November. It was on sale at one of the nurseries, local nurseries, and it has all kinds of blooms. And I got two limes this week.
Are you serious?
I'm basically a farmer.
You are. In the middle of St. Louis.
Yes. And there's another one growing. There's little ones like growing key limes in my bedroom.
Do you have it in front of a window?
I do. South. Okay. Yes. Southern, you know, they need a lot of light.
Getting the southern sun.
They do, which is hard a little bit because if it's too close to the window, when it got cold, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I do. I had it in the family room, which is also the big southern window, but we rearranged for Christmas. So I took it and put it in my room by the window. And it does like to be water. Like you have to, when the top gets dry, I think you're supposed to, you know, I don't know. Yeah. It's got all kinds of blooms that came on it, but I got two limes this week off that are ready to eat. So I'm going to go squeeze them on something. And I feel very accomplished.
Some guacamole.
I'm a fruit grower. I know. I need some avocados, actually.
I gotta tell you. Can I just tell you? I'm addicted to guacamole.
Well, it's really good.
I am. I mean,
it's so good.
It is.
I know. What's not to like? The guac. Yeah. So those are my three things. I have a little limes on my little lime tree, my little bush. So I'm very excited. But yeah. So that's all I have. Do you have anything exciting or anything else that we need to add? I think we pretty much summed it up. People are engaged. You had the Branson trip. We're through Christmas. We're still celebrating a little bit. When do the boys go back?
They actually don't have to go back until after Martin Luther King Day.
Are you? That's Hudson too.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. They've Hudson doesn't start till after Martin Luther King Day.
Very long break.
That is a nice long break. Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Avery goes back this weekend. So.
Trying to create. I'm sorry, my child is in here making faces. I'm going to create a to-do list for him.
Yep, that sounds perfect. What?
So, I'm just...
Oh, there's one of your babies right now.
I know. Goodness. Say hello.
Precious peanut.
Sup?
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Hail State, baby. Hail State.
Hail State.
Yeah.
Okay.
He can't hear you.
I know he can't. I just realized that when I said it. I'm like, she's got her earphones on. She can't. Okay. We're going to wrap it up because this has been great. We've got caught up a little bit. We'll be back next week for more exciting. Send us some good emails. We haven't had any bad ones this week, so we're excited. But it could all go downhill.
Next week, episode 20.
Oh, my goodness.
It's our 20th episode.
It's our 20th anniversary. Okay.
It is.
All right. We'll let you go. I hope you always guys had a great New Year's and all the fun things. And Happy New Year's, Cornbread.
Happy New Year. That's my horn. Heck?
You sound like a weird chicken.
I am a chicken.
You sound like a crazy chicken. Welcome to Designer Cornbread. We're just going to jump in. We're going to jump in because we got...
Holly, I can't hear you.
Hey, who... What
the heck? This is going to be on the show.
John Garrett.
John Garrett. We're trying
He's putting something together in his room. And of course, this is my broadcasting room. And now, so we may be harassed the entire episode.
Guys, I don't want to edit at all. So you've got to just hush up and get out of here right now.